If I'm having a conversation with somebody, especially if I'm trying to take a comedic spin on it, the fucking F-bomb's gonna slip out.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Like just now.
Yeah.
Black Market Toast Podcast, where we take a piece of media out of the cupboard, dust it off, toast it up, and serve it as something completely new. This is episode 36, and in this episode, we are jumping off of, I know Tiny Toons was Steven Spielberg's Tiny Toon Adventures, but I don't think Steven Spielberg's
had anything to do with
Animaniacs. Yeah, it was just Animaniacs.
Just Animaniacs.
Just Animaniacs, which, was a weekday afternoon cartoon began in 1993. I knew it was around there. I wasn't sure if it was 92 or 93, but it was September of 93, which would have been my senior year in high school. And it was very much, it seemed like it was geared towards the teenagers, really.
Yeah.
Because
you said 93.
Yeah.
I was 9. And it was still really funny for me.
Well, it was like sometimes they make cartoons now where it's good for kids, but there's jokes in there for the parents.
Yeah.
It's more like this one, it's okay for the kids, but there's layers upon layers that your teenagers are going to get.
Right.
And kind of what I think what led to that was, we started in the late 80s with DuckTales. That same general time slot, which then, we all moved over to Tiny Toon Adventures in that same general time slot. And then, at that point, we're the 9-year-olds from DuckTales are now teenagers heading out into adulthood, watching this same time slot for our cartoons. And, and we're getting Moby Dick references and all kinds of, pop culture references, but not pop culture references of the time that we were in.
Right.
There's Rat Pack references and just literary references and
the Marx Brothers.
Jerry Lewis has huge cameos and freaking homages to freaking Apocalypse Now of all things, with most episodes of this podcast, I feel like I've prepped. For this episode, I just kind of kept doing what I was going to do on Netflix anyway.
Right.
Which is, fit in Animaniacs when I could. I've got other shows I'm watching, but, when I can pry the TV away from Super Y, I can usually get away with Animaniacs with the toddler, and he's okay with it because there's enough music.
Right.
And he loves music, and he loves the theme song for Mickey and the Brain.
Really?
Which is great, because that's my legacy there.
Animaniacs, yeah, I mean, it really was a great show.
Mm-hmm.
And going back and watching it as an adult, it doesn't lose a lot.
No, because, a lot of the humor, they wrote a lot of the humor for young adult.
Yeah.
They didn't write it for kid. The sight gags and burps and stuff like that are in there for, the kid amusement. Which, it's still funny.
Oh, yeah.
Dick and fart jokes are always funny.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. The dick and fart jokes will never...
They make a surprising amount of dick jokes.
Yes. Now, that is something that I didn't get till I was older, was how many dick jokes are in it?
How many times... Yeah. Whenever they do something and they say goodnight, everybody, they just made an off-color joke.
Yes. Yeah. Which, in itself is kind of a comedy club sort of, shtick to it of, that's it. That's my finisher. Here we go.
Yes.
Because it's, especially before off-color comedy became so common.
Yeah.
That was sort of it. Like, you would tell... You'd save the dirtiest joke for the end, and then it's, hey, good night, everybody, and we're done,
Or it was, you know, it's the end because that's when the club owner kicks you out.
Right, yeah, that's when that hook comes out and hooks you off stage.
That's when the television feed suddenly went black.
You know? Well, no, I mean, I went to go see Mick Foley,
uh-huh.
former WWE wrestler, Mankind, and yes. He did his comedy thing at the comedy show, or comedy club here in Greenville. And he said, you know, I'll tell you in advance, I'm going to drop one F-bomb. This whole, you know, during my whole show, I'm going to drop one F-bomb. And that's exactly what it did. He saved it for the very end. And he said, you know, when I drop it, it's going to be right and it's going to be funny. And, you know, it's proof that, you know, if used right.
If used properly,
it's still an effective, you know, tool.
But
it's exactly what he did. In his last little story,
He
dropped it in just the right spot. Everybody just laughed like crazy because you built it up.
Yeah.
And then it's, you know, all right, thank you, good night, you know.
But I prefer a certain amount of just playing off the cuff where it sounds like, you know, he told the same stories every night and, you know, and didn't really play off
apparently
the audience that
did.
Much.
No, he definitely did.
Okay.
He played off the audience a lot. He just watched his language.
Yeah, because if I'm having a conversation with somebody, especially if I'm trying to take a comedic spin on it, the fucking F-bomb's going to slip out.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Like just now.
Yeah. Yeah. But it was his, you know, it was his whole thing of, you know, I'm relatively clean and whatever.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, no, he did a lot of playing off the audience and he was picking on a couple people.
Okay.
Told some very funny personal stories of, you know, when things go wrong in comedy,
mm-hmm.
you know. So it was a. Between that and, I mean, pro wrestling is such a circus in and of itself
that
just great, funny things happen
to
happen.
Yes.
So it, it was very good. But Animaniacs, it's funny how little the actual main three characters are in the show.
Well, and, but
because it was almost like a variety show, show.
It was amazing in that where there wasn't really a skit or a sketch that didn't work.
Right.
And they went out there with them. You mm-hmm. know, they were bizarre.
Yeah.
But they worked. You know, you had a chicken dressed like a man and that was fucking hilarious.
Yes. Well, and I mean, even, you know, like I said, it had its reoccurring stories, which mm-hmm. I liked. You know, everyone loves Pinky and the Brain. I always thought Buttons and Mindy was hilarious.
Yeah.
And even as an adult, I find that hilarious.
Okay, lady.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, lady. And I'm going to say that to my wife. She's not going to know what I'm talking about. Okay, lady.
Call me wife.
Okay, lady.
Okay, love you. Bye.
Yeah, I mean, it's a really good show, and it's like I said, you know, Yakko, Wacko, and Dot. A lot of times are just used to segue from one skit to the next, like
or as the running gag,
right?
Literally, as they run.
Yeah, as
the
running gag.
Yes.
Yeah, it's but it was
they did so much, you know, tongue in cheek looks at Hollywood, old Hollywood, new Hollywood.
TV
and books, you know, they basically displayed the industry.
Yeah.
It was
a lot of kind of peek behind the curtain.
Yeah.
You know, this is sort of how things really work.
I'm guessing is kind of why I have the interest in things like the Nerdist podcast and stuff like that, where, you know, it's people talking about how they do their job within the industry a lot of times.
Right.
And you get a lot of these industry stories. And I think my interest in that is kind of coming from that Animaniacs background.
Yeah. Yeah. What it's funny. You talk about that. And that, I used the President's Song like uh-huh. all the way through college like, to know which order? Yeah, Washington. Yeah. Like I remember vividly sitting in a college class, going like, da, 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 da. Okay, yeah, it's okay. It's Hamilton. You know, here we go. Or it's it's, you know, Rutherford B. Hayes.
Baton Rouge, Louisiana, south of Helena, Montana. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, but it's just funny, like what sticks with you,
right? Yeah, you wouldn't think there was educational stuff in there, but there was.
Yes, there was educational stuff in there, and it. Yeah, they didn't blatantly make it educational,
but it was there.
Yeah,
you know it.
yeah, it, I don't know. There was just a lot of things.
There's educational stuff, but at the same time, it's poking fun at the educational system, which, if you're going to capture, you know, tweens to teenagers, make fun of the education system.
Yeah.
Because that's what they're doing at that time, you know?
Right.
So it pulls from old Hollywood and makes fun of that and makes fun of the education system and just makes fun of everything that was relevant to their audience. It was, you know, pop culture. Even if it was old pop culture, it was still pop culture.
Right, right. But they were kind of casting a wide net.
Yeah.
Because they expected to have a wide
audience. Huge net. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Bambi's mom, you know?
Right. Right. Well, and yeah, because I mean, I guess, and it was one of those things where if you tell that joke and a parent happens to be watching with their kid, oh, well, maybe this is, you know, something I can watch. And, you know,
oh my God, that's so gruesome. Yeah. Why are you watching this, child? Yeah. But at the same time, there wasn't that parent watching it with the child thing because it was still the latchkey kid generation.
Right.
It was still the time when you expect both the parents to be gone.
Yeah.
And the kids are going to tune this in.
Yeah.
And it's a cartoon, so the parents aren't going to think anything about, you know, kids talking about something called Animaniacs, because that's animated, obviously.
Yeah.
And,
yeah, obviously.
You know, and it was subversive as hell.
It was. But, you know, and like you said, in some ways it was educational. I mean, mm-hmm. they looked at, like, Gilbert and Sullivan, and, you know, opera and things like that, and it was just, it was interesting.
Yeah,
how diverse and how many different, you know, areas they hit, and like you said, it all worked.
Uh-huh.
Which is crazy because nothing hits at a real high rate anymore to me.
Well, it's like my 13-year-old daughter is getting into a lot of music and stuff, and some of the classical pieces that she hears, she's like, that's Backyardigans.
Yeah.
Because that's where she has the reference from, because Backyardigans pulls old songs and writes lyrics to them.
Right.
And so it's giving you an endpoint on classic music, because,
right.
you know, classic music is royalty free, so you can use
it. Yeah, exactly. You can use, but, yeah.
So it's this weird thing where, you know, suddenly you hear
Tchaikovsky becomes the Backyardigans.
Well, you hear Old King Wenceslas at the Christmas concert,
yeah.
and it has Backyardigans lyrics.
But, and you're right, that is why they do it, because it's royalty free and you don't have to worry
about
it.
Yeah, yeah.
But
at the same time,
standpoint,
it's time proven rhythms.
Yes.
That have definitely, you know, weathered that test of time, and people do remember this, so we just throw some words on top of it.
And we're good.
And we're good.
Yeah. Yeah, and I didn't realize shows still did that. Obviously, I don't watch kids' shows anymore. Without children.
That'll teach you.
Yeah, that'll teach me when I have kids. Yeah. But, yeah.
That's not that obvious for me, because I still watch children's
TV,
even without children around. So, you know, whatever.
I'm just old and grumpy now, so I'm...
I look for those little blue paw prints around the room. Okay, yeah, I got it. Okay. Blues Clues.
You know, it's funny. I was I saw a picture of Steve.
Uh-huh.
And they were like, you know, despite all the rumors that he was overdosed and died and whatever, he was going bald, and that's why he quit the show. And he shaved his head and became a musician.
Yeah, but he said officially that he was going to expand his musical career, but yeah, it was because he was balding.
Yeah, he was balding. And so, yeah, they said he shaved his head, now he's a musician in New York, and it's just kind of what he's doing.
Yeah.
And I'm sure, you know, people still come and talk to him about Blue's Clues, because...
Well, and he created it, and it was his passion, and it was his thing.
Right.
Yeah, I'm sure it killed him to leave it, but it was...
Yeah, it was a Joel leaves MST3K situation,
yeah,
where
yeah.
you've made this baby, but it's time for you to go,
yeah.
so you sort of have to hand it off.
Yeah. You either let it die, or you hand it off to somebody else and let them have a run.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's, to me, it takes, like, guts to, you know, be able to hand it off.
Yeah, but at the same time, you don't want your baby to die.
That's true.
You know, it's a Fucking damned if you do, still, damned if you don't.
It's still paying you bills because yeah. you're still a creator. there's some incentive to finding a competent Joe to pass it off to.
Hi, Joe.
Yeah. Old cousin Joe.
It's my brother Joe back from college. Yeah.
Oh, was it his brother? I have no idea.
Yeah, it's been a while since I watched that episode.
Yeah, you're much more up on the
blues. Yeah, yeah. I'll have to go watch it for next time or something.
He just abandoned his dog like that, though. Like
he left him with his brother.
Yeah, but I couldn't leave my dogs with a sibling. God, especially my sister, brother. Hell no. They'd all die. Those people struggle to keep themselves alive.
There you go. Yeah.
But the weirdest show. Like, I look back at that show and I'm like, yeah, no wonder I was a weird, messed up kid. In ways. Like, in my way of thinking. Yeah. I wasn't crazy or anything, but it played into my ADD so much.
Oh, yeah. Because it was jumping from one beat to one beat to one beat. And there were the tiny shots, you know, like the Dots Poetry Corner, where it was just a 5-second boom.
One-liner boom, and you're done.
Yeah. And on to the next thing.
Yeah. Yeah, and I still think one of my favorite parts of the show is the Wheel of Morality.
Oh, yeah.
Because it was supposed to have a lesson.
It's so fucking random.
Yeah. Supposed to have a lesson, but then it just becomes this weird random thing.
And they got the jackpot one time, which was amazing. Yeah. Jackpot, yeah!
Yeah. And the lights are going off and it's just going crazy. And I always thought the jackpot thing was on there just as a gag. Like, it's, you know. No, they hit it once. Point.
Yeah.
Statistics say if you spin the Wheel of Morality enough, you're going to hit the jackpot.
Yes.
Yeah, it was, like I said, it was just so scattershot that it really worked for me. And then, of course, you know, it had its successful spinoff with Pinky and the Brain.
Right.
Which, I mean, I think ran for several seasons on its own.
Yeah. After the fall of 94, so I got two seasons in, and then I went off to the military and never got to see it again, really. Because by the time I was established where I had cable in Japan, it was done.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
And I may be messing it up. But I think this was right as the WB network came out. Because remember...
That was a rough time frame, yeah.
Yeah, so I think... Because if I remember correctly, Pinky and the Brain were on the WB network.
Yeah.
And it was one of their, like... This is our, you know... This is our trademark channel. So this is what we're going to... Yeah, actually it was. The original network is the WB.
Okay.
And it was, this is the Warner Brothers network. This is a Warner Brothers cartoon. You know, this is our franchise.
And I think it was Saturday morning.
It was. Yeah. It was the headliner.
And that kind of... There's a difference between weekday afternoon and Saturday morning cartoons.
Right.
And, around here... And it was syndicated, so it's different everywhere. But the Animaniacs was, it was like 4:30 on Channel 21, which was Fox.
Yeah.
So there was no WB affiliation or anything like that with the weekday afternoon version of the show. It's just, when they spun off to Pinky and the Brain and made it Saturday morning, that's when it became the anchor of the WB Saturday morning lineup.
Yeah.
Which, unfortunately, is a foreign concept to a lot of people now.
Is it?
They no longer do Saturday morning cartoons.
Really?
Yeah.
That sucks.
Yeah. Basically, Cartoon Network and stuff like that have killed the Saturday morning cartoon.
Yeah, that sucks.
Yeah.
That's really weird.
It was a few years ago where they finally just stopped.
Huh.
Yeah.
Well, to be fair, the cartoons I remember on TV from like 10 years ago were terrible.
Yeah, that's the problem. You know, all of the good cartoons were Cartoon Network or Nickelodeon.
And so they and
the networks were no longer putting money into cartoons.
Oh, okay. That explains it.
But for so many years, that was... You know, toy companies put all of their money into Saturday mornings because that was the time when the kids got to watch.
Yeah.
And so once that shifted over to Cartoon Network and Nickelodeon, you know, where they had a 24-hour outlet, they didn't have to focus on that 4-hour block on Saturday morning anymore.
Yeah, I don't know. To me, it wouldn't hurt the networks to... It wouldn't have hurt them to maybe license some of those cartoons and just put them on there, you know? Yeah. If you're not going to put money into it, put money into buying the rights to some other stuff. Put some of the older cartoons on, you know? It's... Because Animaniacs falls into that, like, Tiny Toons Animaniacs sort of, like, progression through my childhood, which is why I probably like it so much.
Yeah, and I mean, Animaniacs was pretty much a direct progression from Tiny Toon Adventures. Yes.
Yeah, they were, weren't they recurring characters or occasional, like, pop-up characters?
Like, Baby Plucky popped up a couple of times, I think.
Yeah.
But, yeah, for the most part, they weren't there.
Okay.
But, yeah, it was all the same.
Were the Animaniacs ever on Tiny Toons?
I don't believe so.
Okay.
Maybe like right there at the transition.
Yeah.
Where they were coming out, they may have been in like one episode, or they may have had something.
Yeah.
But
Tiny Toons was funny.
Oh yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It really was. Plucky was funny. Plucky was by far the funniest.
Baby
part of
Plucky.
Show. Baby Plucky.
It was
yes.
amazing.
Yes.
The water down the down the hole.
Yes.
Yes. Which I'm not saying correctly, because...
Kitchen and daddy hole. Want to flush it again. That's funny. When you're 7, 8 years old, that's hilarious.
Yeah.
Because you're just old enough to not think flushing stuff down the toilet's a good idea.
When you're 14 years old, Baby Plucky is hilarious.
Okay, so it wasn't just limited to me being 7 or 8 years old.
Yeah.
Like, it's just funny.
Yeah.
But that was, like I said, that progression was, you know, and I guess Plucky got his own show, didn't he?
I don't think so.
He didn't?
No. There weren't really any spinoffs off of Tiny Toons.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Which is fine. You know.
Yeah.
It was its own thing.
It was, and it was good for what it was. It, because I guess pre that, I watched, like, Muppet Babies. And but to me, Tiny Toons felt like...
But Muppet Babies was a Saturday morning. It ended up getting aired on the...
Right, and a lot of that I got in syndication.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, it sort of felt like...
Disney kind of broke through on the weekday afternoons with the DuckTales and then the Darkwing Duck. And
Darkwing Duck. Let's get dangerous.
And DuckTales kind of ran at the end of its... life when Tiny Toons was coming out, so it was like Darkwing Duck against Tiny Toons.
Yeah,
you know, on two separate. No, I think 21 actually had both of them, and they ran them back to back.
They did.
Yeah,
Fox did.
Yeah,
because Fox wasn't really beholden to anybody, so they just sort of got the best programming. And
all the Fox channels at that time, you know, Fox only had evening.
Right. Right. So during the day, they could do whatever they wanted.
Yeah. Anything up until like.
5 o'clock.
8 o'clock.
Oh, was it 8?
Yeah, because there was no news. There was no news
on
Fox.
You're right, because they ran like an hour of The Simpsons, and then you got like an hour of, they ran like Seinfeld and Friends and stuff like, you know, reruns of Seinfeld and stuff like that until it...
Sure. That was after the time frame I'm talking about.
Oh.
Yeah.
Either way, I mean, they ran an hour of... Well, actually, I remember it vividly. You, at 4 o'clock, when I got home from school, Spider-Man. At 4:30, X-Men.
Okay.
5 o'clock, The Simpsons. And they had Joey from 4 to 6 every day growing up.
Yeah, yeah.
Because Spider-Man, X-Men, The Simpsons, you know. And, God, I probably watched that X-Men animated series cover to cover 20 times.
Yeah, yeah. You can still do that on Netflix.
I know.
Yeah.
But I've devoted so much of my life to it already.
I know.
So much.
But the new movie looks like it could be good.
I'm excited.
I'm hoping.
Yeah, I'm hoping. It's got potential.
Yeah.
It, I don't know. X-Men has really been the one thing Fox hadn't screwed up too bad.
Yeah.
Too bad.
Too bad.
So, yeah. Maybe it'll be okay.
That and, you know, cursing Spider-Man. No, cursing Spider-Man.
I know. Yeah. Can we just call him fucking Spider-Man? Because that'd be great. He's fucking Spider-Man.
No, not Spider-Man. Cursing Spider-Man.
Oh, cursing Spider-Man.
Rated R Spider-Man.
Yeah.
The guy in the red suit.
Spider-Man with swears. Yeah. Oh. Deadpool. Okay. They didn't mess up Deadpool.
No, they did not
they
mess
did
up Deadpool.
So good.
And by they didn't mess up Deadpool is they kept their fucking hands off of Deadpool.
Right.
And let them do their thing.
Deadpool go. Which is, that's rare. Now, what I'm hoping...
They're like, we have no idea why anybody wants to see this movie. They really like that short, so here's a little bit of cash. You can have one actual X-Man and Negasonic Teenage Warhead. And, yeah, go do your thing.
Yeah. That's pretty much it. No, that's the whole thing. Now, what I'm hoping they don't do is... overexpose.
Oh yeah, I hope they don't. They don't.
Like, they try to
shoot $87 million for the next one,
right? But, or you know,
is that a small budget or a big budget?
It's still kind of small.
I'm sorry. Here's $5 trillion. Is that better?
Well, but you know what'll happen if they do is there's just going to be a lot of like Michael Bay special effects and Deadpool making fun of how much budget they have.
Well, yeah, yeah.
So it's going to be funny regardless.
He's going to be making it rain.
Yeah, he's just going to he's just going to in the opening credits you're just going to see Deadpool floating through space just making it rain. Got to spend this $500 million budget somehow.
Yeah.
So. But I don't know. I mean, but what I mean is I hope they don't, like, try to shoehorn him into, like, places in, like, the X-Men movies where he doesn't really belong or...
Yeah.
He's better in those movies in a cameo.
Yeah.
And it's a well-placed, you know, sort of...
And as a cameo, it's you barely see him and you definitely don't see the repercussions of his actions.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
You kind of hear something going off on that side.
Yeah.
But you never look back over there.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's then you just see him like calmly walk away, like, "Hey guys," and he's gone.
Okay, that side's done.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. Don't worry about that. But it, yeah. But I'm hoping they don't overexpose him or, like I said, just try to put him in places where he doesn't fit. Because Deadpool's a very, it's not a niche character, but it's more of a.
He kind of is.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a smart ass freaking sociopath.
Right.
You know.
Right. Which.
There's plenty of us. But.
Some of us don't have super healing powers, so we have to have regular jobs. Which is bullshit.
Some of us have to think about what happens if somebody shoots us back, and that keeps us in check a little bit.
Yeah. Now, John's on a list.
Government list. John's been on a list for years.
That's true. That's true. You were in the military. They have your fingerprints and DNA and all that mess.
Yes, yes. Blood type and, you know.
Yeah. You're allergic to.
They can clone me if they want to. I'm sure there's blood samples somewhere.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. In a vault somewhere deep underground. Sitting next to the alien bodies.
It says never exposed to air.
Yes.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. But it, I don't know. It's, X-Men's going to be good.
Should. Yeah.
It should be. Yeah. It should be good. Because in this one, aren't they like blending Days of Futures Past with like. Like the new X-Men with the old X-Men, or is it just all new X-Men?
Days of Futures Past was...
That was the blending one. No.
No.
I'm confused.
There is no blending one, because Well, Days of Future Past kind of was the blending one.
Yeah.
But Days of Futures Past, by the end, had eliminated...
All the old X-Men.
All of the old X-Men. Okay. By resetting the timeline.
Yeah.
Yeah. Basically negating... nothing. Nothing happened there.
The old Deus Ex Star Trek.
But the rumor for the next one is that they're going to make an attempt at Dark Phoenix, and they're going to try to do it properly instead of what happened in X-Men 3.
Yeah, that was bad.
Yes, yes, yes.
Quit fucking with Jean Grey. She's awesome. It'll be awesome.
She's okay.
I like Jean Grey.
I've never been much of a Jean Grey fan, but...
Oh, I wasn't
a
big Jean Grey fan, but I was a Dark Phoenix fan.
Yeah.
I was waiting, like, you gotta go kill her. Like, kill her now. Kill her with fire. Kill her however you want to do it. Make sure she dies so she comes back. But
wait, you don't know what's coming.
Yeah.
Never mind.
No, just kill her so I know what's coming. Kill her. She's great.
Yeah. Yeah, I've always been more of a Psylocke fan, so I'm psyched for Apocalypse.
Oh, yeah. To me, the best baddie in comics. I was always a big Apocalypse fan.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. The Age of Apocalypse run was...
Was a great run.
Yeah. And then in X-Men Evolution, they did an Apocalypse run, which is very good as well.
Yeah, that first Apocalypse run was right when I was... Like, it was just like Animaniacs. It hit right at the right time. Like, right as I was getting into comics was when the Apocalypse run happened. I'm like, this is the best bad guy ever.
Yeah.
He's just pure chaos and badassery. Like, I'm a fan.
Yay!
Yay. I'm pulling for the bad guy.
Which is, you know, the same thing that's drawing me into Apocalypse is also drawing me into Wolverine.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was always the draw for Wolverine, was he was chaos and badassery.
Right, so. Right. But Apocalypse is indestructible. Wolverine was practically indestructible.
Until Apocalypse got a hold of him.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's, yeah. But that's what made Apocalypse cooler. Whoa. Yeah. You can do that to Wolverine? Awesome.
You can augment him?
Yeah.
Make him even better?
We can rebuild him.
Yes.
He apparently has the technology. When you're a non, like, when you're an infinitely old being, I guess you can swing that.
Yeah, I guess. Maybe.
You've come across some stuff. Seen some things.
Yeah, from
met some folks.
Time. Yeah.
Absorb their powers.
Didn't forget the ancient technology of the past that allowed them to do things that we still can't figure out how
somehow
to do
today. Somehow I feel like Giorgio Tsoukalos can relate to, like, Apocalypse. Yeah. See? Apocalypse is the ancient alien. Like, he's the guy.
Because we're still finding shit in archaeological digs where we go, I don't know how to make this.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, I can make this, but it would take me like 15 years. And there's like a million of them.
Yeah. So. Well, but there are things where we go, I don't know how to make this.
Yeah.
I don't know how. Yeah. I cannot reproduce this with modern technology.
Yeah.
And no tool marks. That's tough.
Yeah. Who we thought were just banging rocks together.
We're somehow harnessing sonic technology or something that works differently from what we have now.
Right. But it's so different that we haven't just stumbled upon it in the past couple thousand years. Like,
well, it's like, we run into so many ritualistic mirrors, and I'm like, okay. So in 2,000 years, when somebody stumbles upon a revered case of ritualistic mirrors to pull that it's CDs.
Yeah.
They just don't understand the technology to read them.
Right.
So what are all the mirrors we're finding in the tombs, you know?
Right. Yeah. It's...
And do we just not know how to read them?
Yeah. And that's, you know, it's funny because it's, everyone always sort of bagged on ancient aliens and that sort of weird, like, archaeology thing.
You can bag on ancient aliens because they make the jump to aliens.
Right.
That's the biggest thing that is wrong with that show.
Right.
But there's so much compelling evidence of why the fuck is that there?
Yeah.
You know?
How did it get there?
What is it? How did they make that?
Yeah.
How did they drill that hole in that little tiny vase that we still can't figure out how to drill that hole without breaking the little tiny stem?
But it does, it asks some good questions, and that whole, you know, genre is very fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
As long as you don't just jump to aliens or just
as long as you avoid the big jump to an explanation.
You gotta make that slow, like, thought progression to let's really figure it out.
And if they have made that slow thought progression, they really need to explain that slow thought progression a little bit better.
Right. Other than, you know, because to me, anybody that takes a big logical leap is just too lazy to try to figure it out. Too lazy to even want to figure it out.
There's a difference between skipping steps in a math problem because you understand how it works and that's where it's going to go.
Right. And skipping steps
to jump to aliens.
Yes. I wish I were, like, doing trigonometry and I had to do these proofs and I could just be like, step one, step two, aliens, and the correct answer.
Yeah, you know, two column proofs in geometry. You know, you're proving, you know, why it's a square. Aliens.
Yeah, no, I would really enjoy giving step one, step two, writing aliens, and then giving the correct answer just to see what my teacher would do. Explain aliens. What are aliens?
That was the next logical step, was aliens.
Yeah, that was... Sorry.
That's the only reason this could have been here.
Yeah. It's the only reason it's a square. It was all rectangles before aliens. An alien came and said, what if we made them all the same size?
So any of you in listening to this that's in 8th grade geometry, make sure on your next test,
have the right answer.
Before the final answer, you know, go ahead and put the final answer, but leave a space in there and put aliens.
Always leave room for aliens.
Just see what happens.
Hopefully your teacher will have a sense of humor.
Well, I don't see any way they can count it completely wrong.
Right.
They might be able to count you off for that step.
Yeah. Yes.
But aliens.
You can make a 92. Your college doesn't care.
No, your college really doesn't care.
Yeah.
And even less, your employer really doesn't care.
No.
Even about your college.
No. You have a degree from West Horse's Ass University. It's still...
I've heard good things about that one.
Yeah. Yeah, the West Horse's Ass is brown...
Stains.
Yeah, they're just the Browns.
They're in Cleveland, obviously.
Yes. Where all things brown are. But, it is. Like, as long as you have a degree, it can be from anywhere for anything, and it's cool.
It's fine. Yeah, you studied for 4 years. We like that.
Yeah, you committed to something for 4 years and made it happen.
Yeah, yeah.
That's all we want.
So we got way off topic, as usual, and we were talking about Animaniacs, which is an amazing show, and if any of you, for some fucking reason, have not watched it, or...
Please do.
Even if you have, it's on Netflix. It's time to watch it again. So this is the part where I look at Joe and say, hey,
have you thought
of something for next time?
I had thought of something, but I'm not entirely sure I want to do it.
Okay.
I guess we are going to watch some Kaiju Big Battle.
Okay,
awesome. Kaiju Big Battle is pro wrestling with monsters.
In Japanese?
That should be it, yeah. No, it's not in Japanese. It's in, New York.
Oh, okay.
But, it's pro wrestling with monsters.
Awesome.
And that should be enough of a hook to draw you in.
Yeah, that'll be enough for us to talk about.
Oh yeah,
I'm sure we can go all kinds of directions with that.
Yeah, we're not. Yeah, we won't jump off any one particular show. If you just YouTube Kaiju Big Battle, you'll get all you need.
It'll be fine.
Oh yeah.
So yeah, we'll be talking about wrestling and kaiju and
Japan
and all kinds of things that
crushing
that come with
small
that.
Buildings yes. with fake monsters and
yes,
rings.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
And I am at Woodle on the Twitter and the Instagram. And
I'm the Joe You Know on Twitter. I'm that Joe You Know on Instagram.
And you can follow us at Black Market Toast on Facebook. And we will talk at you next time. Beyond the frequency, behold our mind. Tear down, waste time.